Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, welcome to Boggy Talk. Thanks for tuning in. It's December, guys. It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas. All the Christmas.
Christmas time is here.
Do they know it's Christmas time at all in Africa? That's like the worst Christmas song ever,
yeah,
actually.
That's pretty bad.
But yeah, it is Christmas.
A little foreshadowing to what we'll be doing in the future.
We are very not Christmassy dressed unless it's like the new Gen Z Christmas where everything is just, you know, black and white.
Is that the new Gen Z Christmas?
I mean, kind of like
the plum colored shoes on.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. I mean, your shirt kind of makes it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
plum.
Yeah, I think
that's plum.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
she's
your shirt actually is kind of like the
plum.
You have green pants.
I have green
that's
pants
so
on.
So Christmas.
Okay. Well,
that's
yeah.
so
they only see from
that's true.
from the dressed up. So
yeah,
it is. It's December. It's hard.
And
to
we're
believe.
All back together, guys.
Yes,
it's a
game
bit. Yeah, we've had so many special guests and special episodes, mm-hmm. and then a little break around Thanksgiving.
But
so.
You two are my favorite special guests.
Oh, is that why you had fancy coffee waiting for us in the green room of Boggy Talk Studios?
Does not exist.
No.
It does not.
We're literally like, if we don't have a basement, but if we did have a basement, this would be the basement.
Yeah,
I wish we had a basement. I wish we had a basement.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, the countdown is on.
It is. It's here.
It's kind of crazy.
23 days till Christmas.
Wow.
22 days till Christmas Eve.
Mm. Yeah, that's wild.
Didn't make my heart like stress at all when you said that, but that's good.
I said this a few weeks ago at the end of choir rehearsal because we were getting ready for Christmas services, and I was like, "It's weird. It really is to be at this stage of life too, where you're just like, I feel like Christmas comes faster and faster every year.
It comes this time each year.
It's right, and it's just because we're getting old, right? Like, remember as a kid how you're like Christmas seemed forever away, and now I'm just like, I really feel like
because you have to plan for worship services. You're like,
I really
it's
feel
coming.
Like it was just Christmas. I know. Yeah. I mean, PT and I met, a few weeks ago and planned out, all the services and met with you and kind of like talked through all the services. And it feels good that that's set way ahead of time. But also it's like you still feel that like, oh, should we switch this? Should we change this in the moment?
Yeah.
And it's great. But we have that December 21st thing this year, too. So it's like a little extra piece. You know?
Exactly.
Maybe you don't know about that. Tell them about December 21st.
Yeah.
Justin.
So December 21st, we have two worship gatherings, which we made sure of on that Sunday. And we are going, and there'll be kids ministry is just for babies through kindergarten. And it's really, we're calling it our communion and carol service. So we won't be doing, communion or the Lord's Supper, if that's what you prefer to call it, on Christmas Eve like we normally do. We're going to do it on the 21st. We're going to be singing a bunch of Christmas songs. Kids are going to sing some of those songs in worship. And so we're just kind of bringing it in a little bit. It'll be simple, simple music just to, kind of.
It'll be sweet.
It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's going to be really sweet, a rich time of worship for our church. And the reason, just so you guys know, we're not doing communion on Christmas Eve is we just recognize, like, what the Bible says like about how to do this, and we shouldn't do this in an unworthy manner. And at Christmas Eve, we have so many, not just non-church members, so many guests, but we recognize we have a lot of non-believers, mm-hmm. and we just want to not do that. You could say, well, it's actually a great thing to do with them present, but also, yeah, it could be. Or
it's
it is,
so many, though.
But it's so many. So we just felt like, hey, this is more of a church thing.
Yeah.
Like, we will still have guests on the 21st. We will still have new people. There will still be non-believers here on the 21st. But
It's a Sunday morning worship gathering.
So
I remember when I brought it up to the deacons, I was like, oh, no, what are they going to think? But I really felt passionate. They were all like,
Yeah.
And I remember Dwayne Gallagher, who's one of our deacons, was like, on Christmas Eve, this family came up to me like, what are these things? He's like, I wanted to say, you probably shouldn't grab them.
It's just what it is. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, round robin real quick. Favorite things about Christmas.
I love candlelight services with real candles.
Justin,
you
want
to spoil the news to?
Yeah, so on Christmas Eve, we will have candles, but a decision was made, and we—
By someone.
The candles will be electric candles this year, and it's really because of capacity and how close we all have to sit. And the dangers for fire. We have in the years past had someone's hair catch on fire in the middle of service. And that was when we weren't quite as crowded. And so we just recognize, hey, we don't really want to do that. And also, like, it's a lot of cleanup with the wax on the carpet and chairs and stuff.
And quick turnaround.
Quick turnaround services and the wax in the carpet and really, like, that's a lot to clean up in around Christmas, you know, like in New Year's. So
there'll be some happy moms.
Yeah, there will be happy. Like, it'll be less stressful for parents in those services. Yeah,
thank you.
It will be less stressful. We are trying to figure out how to make it still have all the feels with candlelight.
When I say two people in our church, not everybody gets their preference here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This is an example. The lead pastor of this church is not getting his preference.
Yeah, I mean, me too. Yeah, you're like, yeah, I mean, I prefer, but I get it. And so we just, there's a collective decision made, and that's what it is. So,
I mean, I've never thought about leading a church split, but, you know, I might. over this
would
issue.
Cause it? It's candles. Wow. Yeah. It's candles.
I'm sure it happens somewhere.
I'm sure it has.
So. Oh, yeah.
What about you, Justin? Favorite?
Go to hell with your electric candles. The real flame you should be worried about.
Yes, I was about to say, we can make lots of inappropriate jokes there. I just love all the Christmas feels of going to Christmas lights shows. And, you know, we have
shows?
Some fun. Like in Nicestville, there's shows.
Oh,
like,
oh yeah, that's right. You're like, right. You're, like, great point. Yeah,
yeah, there's a guy from our lights, church does the Tringoon. The Tringoon is here in our 9:30 service. And
And Donald Cornegie
plays bass in our 8 o'clock service, does a cool one. Oh, and then there's Geek Lights in Blue Water. And there's several more. It's just fun, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
I just love those. I would say to Christy's credit, she's done a really good job of creating just like fun little traditions in our family that aren't really a big deal, but they are just fun things we do. And those are so fun. Making hot chocolate, going to see the Christmas lights, or our peppermint hunt. There's stuff like that. She's done a good job.
The whole vibe is great.
Yeah, it's Christmas just so fun.
It's a vibe, right?
I love
the music. Are your teenagers still into it?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are.
I think maybe even more in a different way. In a teenagery way, but they're like
teenagery.
Little
kids. I like that. What about you, Kelly? What's your favorite part?
And the
of Christmas?
Food. I do love food.
The food is great.
I think I probably shared it before, but one side of my family does the whole Christmas Olympics.
Oh yeah,
that is, like, really cool.
It's a really big deal every year, and so I feel like every year we have to like make it.
I got to figure out how to do that when my kids are older, like when we're all coming
it's
home.
A good thing.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work with my family, like, right? But, like, when our kids are older.
My family would destroy all. There's like 9 of us.
That's right. There's
my sister is single.
That's right. My
we
brother's
do, like,
their
drafts,
one child.
Though.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do live drafts. And
okay,
then you
so
meet.
It's not like
you can do
the
all
Browns
kinds of
versus the.
Okay. Every year we do something different because Chris and I win a lot. And so they were like,
well, he's
no
7, so you know,
no prize, no surprise there, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Christmas is meaningful for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
Why is it such a big deal for Christians?
Well, Jesus.
Jesus.
No, I mean,
the real reason for the season.
Yeah.
It really is, so let's understand Christmas, because there's like whole argument about like, is it a pagan holiday?
Should we celebrate it? Yeah.
And the truth is, is it a pagan holiday or is it not? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
There are that time of the year in several countries, but let's go specifically Rome, because it's kind of where this originated. The Catholic Church, you know, obviously created the church calendar, those kind of things. There were pagan holidays that were being celebrated that time of the year. In Germany, you had like that was like a big actually when they would kill their calves and they would celebrate. And in Rome, there was like a worship of Saturn. And so there's all kinds of pagan holidays, the Yule, you know, those are pagan things.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Christians kind of embraced the whole year and all the Roman celebrations and made them Christian, them Christian. And some people were sincere in that and some people were just kind of going with culture. So that's kind of where we were up until the Reformation. And with the Reformation came amongst some Christians like the abolishment of all that.
Mm.
And so they, you know, Puritans, they were not going to worship any of that. And so that came over to America. And you kind of have like really in America until immigration of other groups became heavily not the celebration of that. But then slowly there became more and more a rise of incorporating Christmas as Catholicism had a bigger influence and just non-Puritans began to live in America. Mm. And so Christmas as we view it, the way we see it, is kind of like a mix of a cultural American celebration and Christians who are like, well, this is the season of Advent, you know, according to the church calendar. So like the 1800s and really what was the guy's name? George Irving, right? No, George Washington. Yeah, George Irving. What's the guy's name? I'll look it up in just a second. Anyway, he kind of like had a huge influence on it. And A Christmas Carol had a huge influence on it.
Yes. George Irving, yes. Yeah, now I know where you're going, yes.
Had a huge influence on like what we view as America. Yeah. And then this reinvention of Santa Claus, who was a saint that was celebrated.
And Coca-Cola had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, Coca-Cola.
Honestly, that's like...
So you do see like these just distinct American cultural things about our Christmas vibe, you know. But I think for a Christian, you know, I mean, that's fine if you really don't feel like it's something you should celebrate because of all those things. Like, there is no Christian obligation to celebrate Christmas.
You mean Jesus wasn't born?
No, he was not born that time of year. He was probably born in the spring. But I will say, like, you know, Paul speaks about celebrations and festivals, and he really says it's a matter of Christian liberty. And so for us, I think we should be considerate of people that, for whatever reason, arrive at a conviction to not celebrate Christmas and then feel complete liberty to celebrate it. And then I think we need to be watchful of allowing it to become consumeristic and cultural more than it is Christian. I do think as the church, and we've talked about this with Easter as well, man, because our culture is dialed into this holiday, it is an opportunity to give great clarity to them.
Yeah. Right. 100%.
So I know that did not do justice because people have written dissertations and books
that's great.
That's right.
on that.
Great
but just
summary.
Kind of a quick overview.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
I got to look up that guy's name real quick because I messed that up. Mm.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about just Advent. You want to talk about that, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, so
Washington Irving.
Washington Irving. Okay,
right.
yes.
So George Washington.
I was tracking
George Washington.
I was like, Christmas is because of George Washington. Yes. I'm sure that's in some kind of revisionist history of America.
And the reason Christmas can really be celebrated today is because of Donald Trump.
Christopher Columbus. Back when Christopher Columbus discovered Christmas.
That's right. Yes, yes. Okay.
Oh, goodness. Oh, wow. So Advent.
And the stockings are actually the socks of the Indians that he
killed.
Oh, no. Native Americans.
Well, he called them Indians.
Oh, that's true.
This is true. Because that's where,
Yeah, okay.
So Advent. yeah, I mean, I won't get into the history of Advent. I mean, it dates back to, you know, like the, you know, I don't even know. I mean, early church time. But I think, you know, what, let's talk about it as now. And you know, it is a tradition. It is, some people would approach it more as a liturgy, but I do think it's a helpful way. You know, ultimately, the advent of Christ, the preparation of celebration of the coming of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And what I think is the beautiful thing about Advent is that it, in its purpose and design, is to point us towards his second advent, his second coming. Mm-hmm. And so, typically,
People don't think about
that. People
just
think about it. Yeah. And I think that's something we really are trying to focus on this Christmas season, even in some of the songs we're singing. You know, I think PT's done a really good job, you know, in helping, like, as we're talking, even as we're singing O Come Emmanuel, and we're actually going to be singing that, you know, paired with a song we've sung, He Who Is to Come. And so it's talking about, like, this is like Jesus Christ has come and he is coming again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you typically have the structure of the four Sundays of Advent. You know, the first Sunday, the fourth Sunday before Christmas, is the Sunday of hope. And then you move into joy, peace, love. And then on Christmas Day is there's typically candles written. Mm-hmm. And on Christmas Day, you light the Christ candle, the center candle. When I grew up in a Southern Baptist church that did that in our service. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't appreciate it for what it was then, other than I was very familiar with it.
Are we going to have an electric version of that now?
Sure, we have electric candles.
Of course.
It's queued up with our light board.
Everybody just get your phone and do the candles.
Yeah. We did that COVID year, remember?
We didn't do that. We didn't do candles.
In 2020, we did.
You know, we thought it wasn't wise to have everybody blowing out their candles.
Okay. So you went with the phone. Okay.
So it's the fifth year commemoration of COVID Christmas. That's what we're doing.
There you go. Yeah, there we go.
And so really all of those structures, or, you know, whether you want to call it liturgies or traditions, as all traditions should, point us to the truth. And so that's really the goal. And so, I mean, it is kind of a framework we're using loosely in our preparation of each Sunday leading up to, you know, Christmas Day, in terms of like the focus of the songs. And then, I mean, we have our Advent boxes for families, and there's a devotion in there for families to use. And so that's a practical thing that we're doing as a church to just help prepare
help
our hearts room.
The focus. Well, there is a tension between the good parts of just the season and then the not so great parts. So let's talk about that and just how you live in that tension.
Yeah, I think it's like it's a great microcosm of just life. Mm-hmm. Like you have this thing that is supposed to be Christ-centered, and you're gathering your family and your friends and your church family and really focusing and abiding on the truths of Christ and trying not to be distracted by the pulls of this world. Mm-hmm. And yet the pull is so strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then like you see why people are just like, well, it's just easy to separate, right? Yeah. Set the Puritans, you know.
All or nothing.
Yeah, I'm actually not a – I mean, it's easy to be a revisionist, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm not a huge fan of the whole Puritan, let's move to America, you know, and mm-hmm. get away from all this. Like, I don't fully embrace that model. Now, good to God in his providence, use that. Yeah, he mm-hmm. did. But, like, so that's kind of a separatist. We're going to create our culture apart from those pulls of this world. And so I think we have to – man, we have to be so deliberate.
Yeah.
We have to be so deliberate. Mm-hmm. At Christmas time, but always mm-hmm. to say these are the focuses and we're not going to let, you know, things become the focus.
Yeah. I mean, I just think when we aren't deliberate, we just kind of end up being in chaos. And, you know, like this season, particularly life in general will pull you in a lot of different directions. And I think the one of the negative parts of our culture right now in Christmas time is it's a busier time, and we feel mm-hmm. the expectation of all the things that we should do, and we need to give our kids every single magical moment of Christmas yeah. and do all the things. And so we end up missing the whole point of the advent of making mm-hmm. room in our hearts mm-hmm. for him. And so yeah. I would just say that is the tension right there, that we feel the pull to do all these things to make it magical, but really, like, when I say magical, you know, to make it meaningful. Mm-hmm. Really, the most meaningful thing we can do probably is just simplify it. Just be like, you know, and not that there's not appropriate times for extravagance and, you know, or just celebration. You know, when I say extravagance, people are like, yes, he said, you know what I mean?
I was just picturing
I'm not extravagant. I meant like just like
Santa Claus outfit.
Let me retract that word.
Coming down with iPads.
No, that is not happening in the White House.
I know.
But I do think it, you know, I don't want to get into telling people what they should do, because, you know, there's different people who are like, we only do three gifts at Christmas, you know, because the wise men do three. And that's
there are probably
great.
More.
That's great. I'm glad you do that. And probably people who like that simplicity of it probably do a lot more for their kids, you know, during mm-hmm. the year, you know. And so we get into the weeds there. But I think, like, you just have to – hey, like, what are we doing? Ask that question. What am I doing? And why do I feel this need to – be mm-hmm. all the things, all the time, all the places,
yeah.
and just
yeah.
enjoy
it. I think anytime, anything. Sorry, I just hit the table and then bang that. That's like, anyway. Yeah.
Playing some drums.
Anytime anything we're doing for Christ becomes burdensome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jesus said his yoke is easy, mm-hmm. his burden is light.
Yeah.
So we have allowed something else, maybe that's in our head or that we've seen on Instagram mm-hmm. or that our family has pressed on us mm-hmm. to become burdensome.
Right.
And I do think that's when we have to, like, check ourselves, you yeah. know, like we have to say, whoa, why? So some things we do, you know, we do Sunday morning. I mean, Christmas morning, it's not a Sunday. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't like when it is. Christmas morning, we read the Christmas story, like mm-hmm. Luke 2, like
yeah.
take our time. We pray. We like thank God. We do try to keep, you know, we do a couple good gifts for our kids, but we mm-hmm. do try to keep it simple. We don't mm-hmm. have some like three rule or whatever, yeah. you know. Christmas Eve with your church, I do think is mm-hmm. very mm-hmm. valuable. I didn't grow yeah. up in that, so that was like not something I appreciated.
Yeah, well, I didn't either.
Until I was a pastor, and I'm like, I just think it's great. Mm-hmm. And most churches make it so easy too. You know, yeah. like it's an hour long service and. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and so, like, it's not burdensome to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think other things too throughout the year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's making those intentional choices. You know, I think similar patterns, like, you know, just slowing down when you have things that we got to do. And the kids know, like, hey, we're not diving into presents until we're going to eat breakfast together. You know, like, when it's, yeah. but it, and I, part of it's like, I love all those
You're
things
hungry.
And I'm hungry, but also, like, I'm also like, I don't want to rush through it, because so much of life is rushed. Like, especially after Christmas
minutes,
Eve services, which, I mean, it's I love them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of work.
We're tired.
Home. Yeah. And so I go Christmas Day, I'm just like, I just want to move. If it were totally up to me, I'd be like, We're going to open one present every hour because I just want it to last all day.
Yeah, I know.
No, it's not going to happen. Yeah. But, right. You know, it's just good to take our time. Yeah. And I think, you know, as our kids have gotten older, they may not like, that's not their preference, but they're fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, cause they just recognize it's not going to work another way.
It's kind of lame that there's like NFL on Christmas now.
Yeah.
Too.
I know.
Remember when it just used to be a Thanksgiving day. Like, hey, now just, it's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's an Netflix started doing that last year.
It checks you out of the family. Yeah. So, what about I mean, besides the Olympics, are you guys like so busy preparing for the Olympics that you actually don't do presents?
You
like,
only get presents if you don't eat
the Christmas food.
the brown kids
don't eat
like,
the Christmas food.
That's why they win every year, because their kids are like, if we don't win, we get less presents.
We get less presents. No.
I'm taking that bad.
I mean, it is crazy, like 2 days, because in the past we would like split with family because all of our family lives locally. But now that I work at a church, Christmas Eve is a little different. So my in-laws live across the street, so that will be easy. We'll just probably see them in the morning, and then we will do our stuff, and then we'll go see them, and then we'll go to Nice Hole. So it's a very full day, but it's not like stressful in that we all enjoy it. And so I think that's kind of
that
purpose
helps.
Too.
It's not
is,
a
like,
stressful thing.
Recognize where your stress points are for your family as a whole. And, just
and everybody's
prepared.
Are going to be different depending on who's in your family.
Yeah, exactly.
Or extended family.
Recognize it first. You know?
And I think we need to say like our church is really kind, and I think every church should do this. Our staff is off basically from Christmas to New Year's because the recognition of how busy that season is. And then you know, and then I would say also like when you hit January, it ramps up pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And so, so we have to, I think that's something you have to build rhythms of rest. And that's always been just such a good, it's just such a great week for our staff.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
Like,
yeah.
Cause we don't have to see each other.
Yeah. That's right. That's like I've seen a lot of you the past
greatest month. Gift of all.
I know. So between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we've seen a lot of each other.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You're like, all right, you can check out.
Yeah, you really can. You
really
can. It's like, get what you got to do
week,
for that time,
you know,
but you really can. Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting.
We'll be talking about some nuances of all this over the next few weeks, I think. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, a couple of Christmas-related questions that we have from people. We talked about Advent, but why don't we really, as a church, maybe do a ton of it as this huge focus here?
I mean, that's a good question.
Worship, Pastor.
Yeah, I mean, I would say we're doing more now than we historically maybe ever have. You know, I can't speak to history before me, but I don't. There wasn't a big emphasis here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've had different iterations over it over the past few years. I think if you look, you'll see the themes of it in worship. We have the Advent boxes. A few years ago, we did a full Advent devotion, that we were
just – We probably will again next year.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah. Prepping Kelly.
I mean, I think some of this is that we don't always have a Christmas sermon series in December.
And really, you're putting it back on me now.
No, it's all James's fault. But I just mean, but that's the teaching calendar and going through, you know. Yeah. But also, I mean, when you're teaching through scripture and you're teaching expositorially, like, everything points back to Jesus, really, no matter where you are. So, I mean, I love what Francis Chan says about this. I forget what he's like talking about Easter and Christmas. He's like, how do you make a bigger deal? Like, how do you make a bigger deal of Christmas and Easter than it already actually is in Scripture?
Right. Resurrection every Sunday, man. Yeah.
So I think, we're trying to emphasize it. We're not, I mean, we haven't gone full in and been like, this is the Sunday of hope. And so every song we sing is hope. And we're doing, we have resources. I mean, some life groups are doing, we give, you know, a lot of freedom to life group leaders in that, some life groups are doing kind of an Advent reading plan with, it's great, so there's not like, it's not an anti-Advent mentality at all.
No,
it's
no.
just, hey, there's helpful things about it. There you go.
Yeah. I think we're trying to steward it well, because I do think that it does become about sentimentality for a lot of people, and not about, like, it becomes about the feel and not about the real, like, I mean, the resurrection, which should be celebrated every Sunday, and the life, death, resurrection. So, like, again, there's nothing wrong with celebrating Advent, but it is not a biblical mandate, so I think we wrestle with that tension a little bit. But in 2027, we do plan to do – or 2026, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. We do plan to do a Christmas, Advent series because of the way the preaching calendar works out. And we're going through Ruth, so we'll be pointing to that. And the Christmas, it'll be decorated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just not – I think maybe we're not doing the candles. That's really the only thing that most people – probably feel like we're not doing that, which she should be doing.
Another question. There's a lot of great Christian Christmas music out there. And sorry, I've tried to read this question.
Yeah.
Singing songs that have been written by people that have maybe fallen away or they've just like completely denounced the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do? Do we still sing their songs? Do we stop?
That's a really good question. And so this is, you know, this is different than a question we've answered about like the sources of music.
Like
we're talking about specific people. And so, I mean,
we sing any Gungor songs these days?
we don't sing Gungor songs. Okay. Really, the only song that was like,
he doesn't make beautiful things.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great song, right?
Sad. Yeah.
So I think,
there's still hope though.
Yeah, there is. There is. So I'll use two examples that would be one, Horatio Spafford. It as well. I mean,
can't sing that.
Yeah, we sang that a few weeks ago. I mean, he did not like
he's
according
a Unitarian.
To yeah, and yeah. So,
well, he's dead.
Yeah, you know, and there's other hymns, you know, like, and so you get into like, we can sing things if we don't agree fully theologically with them, but what about someone who's completely walked away from faith? I think, I mean, we'd have to get rid of that and other hymns too. If you think modern
some Christmas songs,
yes, Christmas songs. If you think modern songs that people would be familiar with, I think one of the most, he's not a well-known name, but the songs are like Marty Sampson was with Hillsong. And you know, he's walked away from the faith and he has writing credits on songs like What a Beautiful Name. Oh, Praise the Name. These are songs that we currently sing in service. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, he's not the only writer on those, but so what do you do with that? And I think ultimately, like, you're looking at what you're singing. Like, this is the truth. You know, and you can't predict the future of someone, you know. And so I think, like, what we're doing when we're singing, I mean, we're exalting Jesus. I think...
I think
it's just it's okay because who is it pointing us to, and like their faith journey, like there's not like a transferal of faith through like from their faith to like it's not like having some kind of mystical negative impact on which
ironically super charismatic people would be tend to believe that more, but they're more inclined to sing those songs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is interesting. Sorry.
Yeah, so I just think about that. We have to be real about that, you know. It's kind of like, you know, back when modern worship, I mean, not even recent, but like there was like there's schools of thought that like there's actually satanic rhythms and beats that get put into music, and so I'm like
syncopation.
I mean I've heard that.
Remember
like,
that? Yeah,
yes. And you're like, like I don't yeah, it's this one certain beat. That's you can't use in worship.
It's the mark of the beast right there. See, there were six.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, and also like,
I don't know, I've heard some hymns, the way they're played sound like the mark of the beast.
So
maybe
I mean,
the way they're saying, I don't know.
How do we handle this? I mean, very carefully. I mean, I think I would say this of myself and I would say it of PT, we both generally overthink these things, and I think that's good.
Not you and PT.
I mean, this is a good thing. Like, we should be. Like, I feel like we both feel the weight. I mean, you too, as a lead pastor. Like, you feel the weight. The church is entrusting us with this. So we do. I mean, I know we overthink these things.
Yeah.
And so, because we want to do this well. So ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm like, what is the fruit? What is the fruit of singing this song? I mean, it is well. I mean, that is a helpful and healing and Christ-exalting song. Does the fact that the believer or the person who wrote that walked away, does it negate the truth of that? I mean, the Holy Spirit, no. I mean—
And I would have had no idea, honestly, unless you said, so it's like—
Yeah, it's kind of like with leaders or pastors on a similar principle. Like, if a leader or pastor of a church, like— renounces their faith and you look back, does that negate how God still worked in the lives of those people? Mm-hmm. Is it no longer genuine? Is it no longer real that God worked through that leader, that person to do great things, to save people? Yeah. I mean, you think about like the ministry of Ravi Zacharias. Okay. So that there, God has used that as a helpful thing. I mean, you go back and I mean, you know, all the things that have come out postmortem from him, you're like, oh my goodness. But that doesn't negate the real fruit that's happened in and through. And I'm not saying he's not a believer. I'm just saying the fruit. You know, so you get complicated in those. I think it's fine as long as we're thinking through it.
There's
And I mean, someone might disagree, and I'd be like, I get your principle in that. And
okay. Yeah, if you're flippant about it, I think you're definitely in the wrong. Mm-hmm. And I would just say if you're really stringent about it, you're going to be very limited in what you can do.
Because then you constantly get in. Then you're going to be like, well, and now I'm only going to sing songs with.
Basically, I only sing an actual song.
Yeah, I'm only going to
really get down to that.
I'm only going to sing songs by people that I fully agree with everything on. I'm like, well, you're gonna have to write your own songs, and even then you're gonna have to stop singing them after a few weeks
because
you're
gonna be like,
that's true. Mm. Any additional thoughts?
I think there is this kind of tying back to the Bethel thing and Ravi Zacharias. Like, there's one thing to sing a song and lead the church in that song. There's another thing if you if you're doing something that's going to lead people to be influenced by the author or by that.
And right.
That's where
that's a good point.
That's the criticism of churches that do Bethel and Elevation is because then people want to, because they do ask us like, what was that song we did? And then they start listening to their music and then maybe they start listening to their preaching. And so I do think there is like a greater sense of caution when we're like, you know, this could lead to someone being influenced by this. That's just something we just have to steward well. So
I get that.
Yeah.
Well, it's that time of Boggy Talk.
Game time. Okay, so you guys
game theme music.
You have beautiful voices.
Aw.
So and I don't. So we're gonna do a lyric game. So I'm gonna say the lyrics, and you have to tell me what the song is for that.
The song title. Okay.
Yeah, song title.
Are these Christmas songs?
These are Christmas songs, of course. It's that time of year.
Just making sure.
Okay, I have 15 questions, so we'll see how quick we can.
Is this just whoever says it first, or we have to buzz in?
Whoever says it first.
Okay, I'm ready.
Through the years, we will all be together.
If the fates allow.
Have yourself a very merry little Christmas.
I'll give it. There's no very. There's no very.
Have yourself. Good. I was like,
have yourself a very merry.
I was trying
Christmas.
I have to like sing the rest of the song to get to the title. I was like, oh no.
Merry yourself.
That was good. Listen to you singing.
Okay.
Join the worship team. James.
Yeah, I could just sing.
He does that involuntary sometimes when his mic doesn't get unmuted.
That's why I mostly mute it.
We are coming up onto the 1 year anniversary of that.
That's right. It no longer exists on YouTube. It's fine.
Oh, Lord. There's a star upon the highest bow. Bow, bow, bow. Right?
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
No.
Hang yourself on the highest bow. And have yourself a very merry Christmas now. Yeah.
What?
Sing the line
again.
There's a star upon the highest bow.
And have yourself a very little, very little Christmas now.
I don't think so.
Do you know the answer?
Well, ChatGPT says it's the Christmas song, the chestnuts roasting.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
I'm just gonna. That's my mashup remix
version.
We're gonna
have to check that out. Yeah, you guys.
No, I'm with you.
I
do mashup so many songs.
Okay, this one's easy. Okay, you ready? Our finest gifts we bring.
Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Rum pum pum pum.
Rum pum pum pum. Are we doing that this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. Right now. Oh, I don't want to. People are going to get messages. Right now, it's not on the plane.
Okay. So, womp womp. Yeah. 1-1.
I'm not coming now.
So. Yeah, I know. No Drummer Boy.
Okay, well.
No fire.
We'll take this into consideration.
Okay, no communion on Christmas Eve with a bunch of people that shouldn't be taking communion.
We're just forget. Christmas is canceled.
Goodness gracious.
Oh.
No parades probably either.
Please no.
Where the treetops glisten and children listen.
Where the tree down. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Good job.
White Christmas is right.
Yeah, I gotta sing the whole thing.
Also, things we just described about our Christmas Eve services in the past.
Yeah, white Christmas. I also don't want to sing them out loud because then Kelly's gonna jump in and steal it. So I'm like,
I know.
That's why you're hitting me like, I'm scatting over here.
Okay, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Santa Baby.
Man,
gosh.
Yes. 3-2-1.
I know. He's gonna be
okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
What a bright time.
Rocking around the Christmas tree. What a bright time.
Jingle bells.
Jingle bell rock.
Jingle bell.
Jingle bell rock.
Yes, thank you for that hint.
Yes, 4-1.
I was picturing Home Alone. I know. And that's
okay. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing.
It came upon a midnight clear.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
Five.
Good
job.
I don't, that's like the line I know.
He should win.
I should.
Yeah, you should.
This is
he
true.
He has
I'm pretty sure
many
he's going
years
to.
Of choosing Christmas
this
songs.
This is true.
All right.
But I don't care about what I don't care about the lyrics we sing. I only care about the feels. So I'm just kidding.
Faithful friends who are dear to us.
Gather near to us.
I can
once
sing
more.
This song. Though. Isn't that
have yourself a merry little Christmas? Yeah. Yes.
He said the title.
Okay.
First.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, 6-1.
I was confused. I was like, wait, this has been
where
the answer before.
One,
yeah.
And heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the world.
7-1.
Wow.
I'm warmed up now. I'm into the Christmas
right,
spirit.
Okay, this
he's
one's
in
tough.
The zone.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done?
This
oh,
is
I don't
a
know
pop
the
song.
It's the Wham. So this is Christmas. What have you done? Another year on
it's
the
not by
I
Wham.
Do not know that
it's not by
at
Wham.
All.
Have a very Merry Christmas. That's the chorus. I don't know the title though. Have a very Merry
sorry,
Christmas.
Happy Xmas. War is over by John Lennon.
John Lennon.
Oh,
I thought it was Wham's the other one. Yeah, simply having a Christmas. That is what I'm thinking of. Okay.
No, that's Paul McCartney.
Okay, so I don't know people
you're
who wrote
Last
song.
Christmas.
There you
last
go. There Christmas you go. The other one that's home. An earworm, man.
Okay. He sees you.
When you're sleeping, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, my
yes.
gosh.
Because that's the creepy song. He sees
also,
you.
Yes. Also, the main point of every women's conference sermon.
What?
He sees you.
He sees you.
When you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. Yeah, this is true.
He sees you.
He needs to have like a flower theme with it.
Yeah.
With it.
Ooh, Christy's going to not hear this because she doesn't listen to Boggy Talk.
Oh, I'm part of it, so don't worry.
Okay. I'm going to go one word at a time. I
saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Don't.
All I want for Christmas is you.
I don't.
Yes, want a lot
for
Christmas.
Oh,
I don't want a lot for Christmas.
Yes.
Mariah's on.
Now let's just see how fast Justin can get these guys.
There's a time run.
Strike the harp.
The harp?
Oh, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Okay, now ChatGPT is doing impossible mode. Here we go. We're just people
all
can
right.
tune out if they want. Okay. This is not impossible. You're going to know this. Okay.
You think?
And there won't be snow.
There won't be snow. I don't know.
The full lyric is, and there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas
time.
Oh.
Do they know it's Christmas
yes.
time at all? Yeah.
Let's see how you do it. You can do okay. it too, but add the all impossible.
Right. Okay.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes. Wow. This one is hard.
Oh, I know this. When you're weary, feeling small.
I would not know this one. This is the first one I would not know.
I don't think I've ever heard this one.
I mean, when you. I'm going to Bridge Over Troubled Water, but that's not
but
a Christmas song.
It is by them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's like, when you're weary.
A Christmas to Remember by Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
isn't that who sang A Bridge Over Troubled Water?
No, they did a version of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On
a cold winter's night that was so deep.
The first Noel.
Yep. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling.
Yoo-hoo. Outside the snow. That's the next line. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling.
Come on,
Kelly. Slay
ride. Lovely weather. I can sing the rest of the song, not the titles.
Wow. This is like any team that plays Florida or Florida State this year. It's just slaughter.
Oh, my goodness.
And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. I've never heard of this song. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
And the bells are ringing out. As soon as you say it, I'm going to be like, yeah.
Never heard of it. The Fairy Tale of New York.
Oh, no. That's not what I was thinking.
For Christ
not
is born of Mary and gathered all above. That's in verse 2 of that.
Okay.
It's A Little Town of Bethlehem.
Yeah, I know. But nobody sings that part.
Really?
Okay, this one's easy. I can't believe this is impossible mode. So bring us some figgy pudding.
That's the New Year's song. Bring us some figgy pudding. We wish you a Merry
Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or a very Merry Christmas.
Okay. Very Merry
Yeah, that's right.
My world is filled with cheer and you. I also don't know this one.
That sounds like a Taylor Swift Christmas song.
That's true.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Just filled with cheer and you have no clue.
Merry Christmas, Darling by the Carpenters.
Oh.
Merry
Christmas. Oh,
this is easy.
I didn't know that one.
In the meadow, we can build a snowman.
In the meadow, we can build a snowman. The titles are escaping.
I know.
Sleigh bells ringing. Are you listening?
Yeah. Something about sleigh.
Winter Wonderland.
Walking in a winter.
Got it.
Oh,
yeah, you have to get to the end of the line there.
I won't even stay awake to hear those magic reindeer click.
No idea.
I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
No.
No.
I know Christy Ross would know this one. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh. Oh, oh yeah.
Come and Behold Him, Born the King of Angels.
That's Isn't O Come, that Let Us Adore Him.
Yeah. Noel.
Or.
Oh, the first Noel.
No. Oh, Come All You Faithful. There you go. Oh, Come All You Faithful. Yes. The official
City
title.
Sidewalks, Busy Sidewalks.
Silver Bells.
Yep. Wow. Where meek souls will receive him, the dear Christ enters in.
We've already That's a little town of Bethlehem. Yeah.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile.
In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Silver bells, silver bells.
And then there'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories. Because remember, Christmas, you introduced
Christmas
us to
this. Yes, Christmas is long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Well, there we
Justin,
go.
Justin, good
he
job.
He did.
Well,
impossible mode.
Man, that was hard. There, that was
the next one is extreme mode. We'll do off the line. That'll be in the secret content.
That's right.
It's indie Christmas music. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'll be stuck.
We'll do well.
Actually, I know. We know most of these. So.
Well, a lot of good things that are coming up, and it's an exciting time of year. We hope that you'll
continue.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
The very most awesome, wonderful time
of the year. Yes.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining.
All we want for Christmas is you.
We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.